Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense. Stay tuned to find out why Chicago's top realtors are choosing Dan Frio.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. And I, of course, am Dan Frio. And today we have my friend Angie Stockton.
Hi, Dan.
She is a realtor out in the western suburbs. She's a good friend of mine. And we do a lot of business together. And hopefully in 2019, we can do a ton of business.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
What we're trying to do is educate everyone out there. If you're listening to the show or you know somebody, a coworker, a daughter, an ex-spouse, a whatever, that is in the market to purchase a home, please have them listen. We also have, we podcasted all of the shows, and you can find it on iTunes. I have it on the website. Anywhere, I'll post it everywhere and anywhere we can possibly post it to get the word out. So again, my name is Dan Frio, The Mortgage Update. Today we're going to talk about pre-qualifications and pre-approvals. So it's kind of funny because right before we started the show, Angie and I were talking about this, and you're an educated person in this business. Mm-hmm. Tell the listeners what you thought or the differences, if any, that you thought between a pre-qualification and a pre-approval.
I will, because I think most people come with a pre-approval letter. It's the words pre-approval are on that.
Yeah.
And so I have always understood that a pre-qualification is a letter that states that a buyer has gone to a lender and given them information, and based on that information, they received a pre-qualification letter. A pre-approval letter was always that it had been underwritten, had gone through automated underwriting. They'd given their information, but the credit had been run, and the lender had checked all of that information that was given. Not a full process of the mortgage underwriting, but had gone through those preliminary processes.
Yeah.
And that was what a pre-approval letter was.
And I hated to say, tell her, and I know this, I've done this 30 years, but every year I have to take continued ed.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, I always thought, I knew the difference between a pre-qualification and pre-approval. I kind of thought it was the same thing.
Uh-huh.
During the education process, here's what I found out is mostly everything you get from a lender is a pre-qualification, not a pre-approval.
Which is interesting.
The reason being is, and I do mostly pre-qualifications, mm-hmm. but I kind of go a little further than I think than most, because I always say, and if you've ever worked with me in the past, you might hear me say this, I don't want to go down this road and hit a brick wall.
Right.
I don't want to go down a dead end road. The clients that you have that go on, they're on realtor.com.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are probably techie savvy. They're on the websites.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're scanning the webs. So, you know, there's a lot of web mortgage companies out there. Do you see those being used? And if so, I would, here, and let me scan back a second. A lot of clients I have that are calling me have already applied, and I kind of hate this because
uh-huh.
I've been on 1160 for like 15 years, but a lot of them have tried some of the online companies
uh-huh. yeah.
and they get really frustrated.
Yeah, truthfully, I hear the statistics that these online companies are doing well, and it baffles me because that's not been my experience. Truthfully, it hasn't. I have had pretty much almost every client I have had has ended up working with a lender like or broker like yourself, a lender. I truthfully only had one client who attempted to work with one of the online mortgage lenders, and they ended up not writing with them, because the biggest problem I saw, and for me as a realtor as well, the biggest problem was trying to get a person on the other end of the phone that you could communicate with. And it really, that's not a process you want to go through if you don't have somebody holding your hand. You know, if you need, not only do you need to have your realtor walking you through that process, but your lender should be somebody that you trust that you can walk through that process with. I mean, they don't know. Most people don't know what goes on in that process. They don't do this every day. So if you're trying to talk to somebody on the on an online process and you can't get a hold of a person, it can delay the loan.
I see. I mean, to me, that is the biggest going down a dead end road or potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. I have online presence, and I ask a lot of the clients that call in to go on my website and apply.
Right.
The reason being is just so I don't, you know, misinput a Social Security number, the exact spelling of their name, the exact spelling of their, you know, the address they live now and things like that. But as soon as, kind of like you with Realtor.com, Angie gets a lot of leads from Realtor.com. So as soon as you click on that, that you're interested in a property, you're going to get a phone call from Angie if you're in the western suburbs. What I do is I get alerted of that as well when somebody goes online and applies for a mortgage. I immediately call them. The reason being is if I asked you what your income is and what your debts are, what are you putting in? Are you putting in your gross and your overtime and, you know, or your net and things like, you know, other things?
Right.
When I ask for your debts, do you realize your debts have to be child support? If you're paying child support, student loans, even if they're deferred, there's a lot of things that most people don't get. Also, you know, talking about your son right before the show, he's working a ton of overtime.
Right.
He's not on the job for 2 years.
Right.
Overtime can't be used. So if he went online and applied for a mortgage, he'd say, well, last week I made $4,000.
Exactly.
You can't use it.
No.
So you're going down a dead end road. So again, let's break this down. Pre-qualifications and pre-approvals. In most cases, you're going to get a pre-qualification.
But the letter's probably going to say a pre-approval.
Yeah. So, So if you have not talked to somebody, sent them your tax returns, pay stubs, W-2s, bank statements, you have a slim pre-qualification.
Right. And on top of that, I don't think people realize, too, you do need to disclose if you're divorced. And the divorce decree needs to be part of what the lender looks at. If you have a bankruptcy, they need to know when that was discharged. If you have any rental income, they may even want to see the lease for the rental income.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't, on our side of the fence, you can't imagine how much digging is done in the files. Well, every day we have a customer frustrated with us, I guess is the best word. Because they're like, you know, why do you need that? Why, you know, you were just telling me about tell us about a bank statement. I'll give you the hint. The deposit.
Oh, well, I don't think that a lot of buyers understand that there are things that can flag your mortgage through the mortgage process. One of those things is if you deposit a large amount of money. The thinking is, wow, it's a deposit. Why does it matter? Well, it matters anytime there's any significant change in your credit profile, you have to have a paper trail. And so even if it's a gift, you still have to have a gift letter so that the lender knows that that money is not going to be expected to be repaid. So I think a lot of times people think, well, it's a deposit, no big deal, but they need to be aware of that. Also, a lot of times, I think maybe people are more educated more now than they have been in the past, but still they're not aware that if you were to apply for the loan, everything's going well, you're going out to look for furniture for your new home, do not purchase that furniture under any circumstance. Don't put it on credit or a car. Yeah, don't do anything with your credit profile once you're in the process of the loan.
What about here? Another big red flag, and sorry, we're going off on a tangent on this one, but you know, things that would hinder you from the mortgage process. I, as the lender, if you went online, for example, and applied, you might say you have $5,000 in the bank, or you have $5,000. Maybe it's cash.
If it's in your mattress, it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. And that's you in today's world. You hate to say it, but you know, in the day, God bless you if you had $5,000 in cash. You'd be like, woo.
Right.
Nowadays, it's like, okay, that's zero.
Exactly.
Let's start from there with your down payment or whatever else you need. So that's another thing. Don't quit your job.
Right.
you know, don't quit your job in the middle of this. Just even if you take another job with somebody else doing the same thing, mm-hmm. please let your lender know mm-hmm. these things. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now back to pre-quals. A pre-qual is basically you call the lender, you go online, you put in your information. Within 2 minutes, you get a pre-approval. It's not a pre-approval. It's a pre-qualification because if you did not provide, again, your tax returns, federal tax returns, W-2s, pay stubs, bank statements, and most likely spoke with someone to make sure they have 100% of your data, mm-hmm. it's a pre-qualification. Mm-hmm. So when we get back, what we're going to do is talk about what you should do and the process you should take to make sure once you go out and find that house of your dream with Angie, you can close. And you can close hopefully within 30 days or less. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure you're not going down that dead-end road and hitting a brick wall because it's wasting your time, mm-hmm. my time, Angie's time, everybody's time. We don't want that. We want to help you, but we don't want to take you down a kind of a false leading trail
right.
and hitting a brick wall. Yeah. So, Angie, before we go or do the pause, and we'll be back in 2 minutes, tell them how they can get a hold of you.
You can call me, 630-800-7740, or you can text that number or email me at angie@greatsuburban.com.
Okay. And again, this is Dan Frio, the Mortgage Update. Please, if you have any questions, give me a call at 630-338-1160. You can find me on the web at 1160mortgage.com. Actually, what I usually try to ask people to do is just Google and go into Dan Frio, D-A-N-F-R-I-O. You'll be able to track down my LinkedIn, my Facebook, my YouTubes, my emails, my websites, everything possibly about me. And, you know, get the facts about me before you make that phone call. But I hope you should like what you see. God bless. Stay tuned. And welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. And today I have my friend Angie Stockton.
Hi, Dan.
And we are talking about the differences between pre-qualifications and pre-approvals. Why one will lead you down the road to a dead end or a brick wall, and the other one hopefully get you right into a house with as less of strain as you can possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we leave off? We want to talk about, when we left off, we were talking about kind of loan killers.
Yeah.
And red we went flags. Through a lot of scenarios like mm-hmm. that. And right now what we want to do is what is a pre-approval or what your lender should be doing or asking of you, what you need to know from your lender, and what puts together a good pre-approval process or letter. Last year, I don't know if you see a lot of this. Do you have... with other lenders, and good or bad, mm-hmm. do you see fallout, or and if so, what is usually the cause of the fallout from the pre-qualification?
Yeah, I don't see a lot of fallout. But what is typically the fallout is if something wasn't disclosed, which is kind of maybe. Everybody's got a little fault in that. The buyer has to disclose everything, like you were saying in the earlier segment. Mm-hmm. And then the lender, and honestly, this is one of the things I appreciate about you, is that you're very thorough. The lender needs to be thorough in making sure that that information is accurate and letting them know what other information they need if yeah. there's not enough.
Okay.
And that's what the fallout I see is.
So what I try to do is when somebody applies online, mm-hmm. which it's inevitable that's where it's going.
Right.
That's where the market's going.
Right.
Because... I mean, it's technology
mm-hmm.
and it can expedite the system. Just because something's fast doesn't mean it's any good.
Right.
So if you have a pre-approval or I'm going to really call it by its name.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a pre-qualification in a minute or 30 seconds or 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a pre-approval.
Right.
It's basically, you know, your credit might have been pulled, but here's the things missing. Do you have child support? What is your income? What is your real income?
Mm-hmm.
If you put in, again, like in your son,
mm-hmm.
if he put in what he actually makes
right.
versus what he's allowed to qualify with, it's probably half.
Right.
So those are things. again, you want to speak with somebody that they can go through all these questions with you. Are you paying child support? Are you receiving child support? Mm-hmm. How much money do you have in the bank? Mm-hmm. How long has it been in the bank? Mm-hmm. Other areas such as that. So when you apply online, you'll get a phone call, should get a phone call. You need to provide, and I'll go through that list again, 2 years federal tax returns, last two pay stubs, last two bank statements. Those should be analyzed. So what happens is, here's the process, and here's what everybody does or should do. You fill out an application. On your side of it, it's just, it goes out, somebody you're thinking looks at it, pulls your credit, looks everything, oh, everything's okay, you're good to go, boom, and writes you up a letter. It's not like that. Today's world, everything is automated, mm-hmm. meaning everything is technical. So we take that data and we upload it into one of two systems. There's Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Mm-hmm. They're two different entities out there, and they provide, I don't even know if you know, they probably do 95% mm-hmm. of the mortgages in the country. Mm-hmm. So when they get a bad rap saying, you know, they shouldn't exist, or if they didn't exist, there would be no mortgages.
Yep.
So everybody uses them. Mm-hmm. Me, Bank of America, Quicken, Wells Fargo, mm-hmm. Guaranteed Rate. Mm-hmm. Everybody uses that system. So you run that your data through the system. But if your data's no good,
right.
your letter's no good. Your answer's no
right.
good. Correct. So you need somebody that knows what they're doing to talk with you,
right.
analyze this information that you're sending in before they upload it into that system.
Right.
Now, that system will come back and say the loan is approved or not approved.
Mm-hmm.
Not a funny thing is, you mentioned earlier, my son makes, you know, last week he worked 100 hours.
Yeah, 118. Give him credit
awesome.
For all he worked.
Yeah. And then Angie's question was, well, tell them kind of what you're asking, and you thought maybe some of it could be used, it could be looked at.
Oh, actually, I know that none of it is actually looked at and considered as part of his profile. But I still thought that an underwriter would be aware that this extra income was coming in. I did. I thought that something, okay, so look, we're not approving it based on this, but look, the guy's obviously a secure, you know, he's working all of these hours. He's got all of this overtime. That underwriter would be aware of that.
Right. No. Sorry. So here's what it is. I hate to say it. It is a square peg with a square hole.
And that's it. Yeah.
So that's it. In his case, he has not been on his job for 2 years.
Right.
They'll look at his base pay,
mm-hmm.
period.
Mm-hmm.
Not a penny more can be added to it.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate because, mm-hmm. but that's the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times people will think, you know, well, can't they ignore that? Or couldn't they, well, I made this, or I have 20,000 cash
right.
at home, sitting at home. They don't.
Yeah.
They just don't. It's a technical world. And the problem was too, a lot of it discrimination played a role.
Mm-hmm.
But not saying good or bad, I'm just saying a lot of it got, that's why really credit scores came into play. Because if you have X score,
mm-hmm.
you qualify with a 620 credit score,
mm-hmm.
everything else is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know where you live
mm-hmm.
or aren't supposed to take into consideration where you live, what color you are, what race you are, what, you know, ethnicity you are, what anything.
Right.
So that's that part of it. So going again down the pre-approval route, we then send your data into that automated system. Mm-hmm. That automated system will then kick out to us and say, it's approved. Then I always say it gives me a punch list. And it'll say, I need, and again, the data that you put in is your income, your credit profile, your job, your how long you've been at your job
mm-hmm.
or at home, how much money you have in the bank, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do I validate it?
Mm-hmm. You need their information in writing. You
right.
need to see their statements. You need to know what's going on.
Again, so I go back to it. We need their tax returns,
mm-hmm.
W-2s. Why do we need their tax returns? They might be self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
They might have a side business. Here's what happens a lot, and this just popped in my head. I have, and you probably don't see it. You might, and just to be aware of it. You have right now people that are Uber drivers,
mm-hmm.
people that sell Amazon products,
mm-hmm.
You know, a bunch of side business
right.
jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You might even have, I even see it on
mm-hmm.
our realtor side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a realtor will, you know, the wife is a realtor part-time and, you know, they're applying.
Right.
It's a Schedule C income.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a side business that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's times where the person will say, I sell Amazon products and I made about $8,000. I sold $8,000 worth of Amazon products last year. Mm-hmm. Let's say it was a realtor and you and your husband applied. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out there.
Right.
Your husband has a full-time job, this and that. And then you have the real estate business. Mm-hmm. Most of the time when that person has their own business, let's say this Amazon person selling $8,000 worth of products, that those products might have cost them $7,000.
Right.
So they had $8,000. They're telling me they made $8,000.
Right.
They had $7,000 in costs.
Right.
They had another $500 in cost to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
They had $1,000 in marketing. Then they had a $500 tax service fee. And then they had, so they actually lost money.
Yep. Which would be reflected.
So if that person went online and you were going online and putting in your data, you would put, I work at Amazon and make
$8,000. Yep.
So that's $700 a month. Just throwing out there.
Right.
When it comes into me, you now made a negative $1,000 for the year. So you didn't make $700. You actually lost.
That's
you know,
problem.
$50 bucks a month.
Yeah.
That's a $750 a month swing in income.
Right.
I mean, that's just a minute little scenario.
Right, yeah.
Now, you know, I've had realtors who come in and they honestly they've had their advertising between the MLSs and the realtor.coms and everything. They might have had a $10,000 or $15,000 loss.
Yeah.
Now you got $1,000 or $1,500 loss every month.
Right.
You're already $1,500 negative in the hole.
Yeah.
Now trying to qualify for a mortgage, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, if you were to do that application online,
you wouldn't know or might not. Yeah.
Right. Child support, alimony, you know, other things, you know, you probably wouldn't put in there. Do you see, again, I kind of asked you this question before, you know, God bless you, you haven't been down that road. Last year, I probably had two or three clients a month call me about 2 weeks prior to closing and say, Dan, I need help.
Yeah.
I have a contract I'm supposed to close on in 2 weeks, and I just got turned down. Why'd you get turned down? And mostly, it's kind of one of the same scenarios. Mm. And it was just like, really?
Mm.
What else? What other things have you seen that has hint? We were talking about pre-qualifications and pre-approvals. So we've discussed the differences there and what you should do, the questions you should ask your lender, the documentation you should provide your lender. What are some other areas? We talked about cash. Watch out for cash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, buying a car, buying furniture. Anything else you can think of? Just advice on people if they're looking to buy a house in the next 3-4 months, what to do and not to do?
I just honestly think don't stay where you're at. Don't pay off credit card. If they're going to pay off a credit card, they need to talk to you or whoever is going to be their lender, because sometimes closing that credit card account can actually hurt their credit.
Right.
So they need, before they make any sort of move financially, if they're looking at buying a house, they need to be in touch with a lender and they need to actually ask them before they do anything of significance.
Gotcha. Awesome. So Angie, tell us quickly, how do they get a hold of you? Please, if you're looking to buy a house in the next 2-4 months, let me know. I'll get you a pre-approval and we'll work with Angie.
That
Angie, give me your information.
My phone number is 630-800-7740. I can be texted at that number as well, or Angie@greatsuburban.com.
God bless and come back tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense.